Millions of people suffer from having a chaotic mind, a lot of overwhelm or burnout, and in some cases, depression. And that's why Richard Perry will tell us about how you too can leverage mindfulness to give you inner peace, to improve your self-esteem and relationship with others, and to even change your life. And Richard Perry has spent a lifetime exploring sound, and he'll tell us about how he discovered that mindfulness is a life-changing thing for a lot of people. So, Richard, tell us about how mindfulness can give you inner peace. What is mindfulness, and how can people leverage it for inner peace?
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.
What is mindfulness? Boy, that's a big question. That's a good one. Mindfulness, I think, is just being aware of yourself, being aware of your surroundings, and most importantly, being aware of your thoughts. And when I was younger, when I was in the Navy as a sonar technician, I wasn't thinking so much about thoughts and mindfulness, but I was thinking an awful lot about sound. Pinging to find submarines, using hydrophones to listen for them. I didn't realize that that would be a theme that would carry forward throughout my life. I've had a number of different careers, but it was about 20 years ago I was introduced to a silent meditation retreat. And honestly, a friend invited me. I didn't think I'd be able to do it. An entire weekend of silence. We're talking Friday around noon to Sunday around noon. Now, I'd never kept my mouth shut for that long, ever. There's a whole history of lots of hyperactivity in my background. So, meditation was something I needed badly. And what really struck me on that retreat was the use of a singing bowl, not just the fact that it was silent the whole time. But when we went in to actually meditate, there was a singing bowl, this large object similar to this here that would be rung at the beginning of a meditation. And then we would sit and we would meditate and we would focus on the breath. And historically, the breath has been used as a tool to, bring your thoughts. So if you have a thought that arises, you bring it back to the breath. The idea is to anchor your thoughts on your breath so that you don't sort of get lost and you're able to see your thoughts a little more clearly. But I was really struck by the bowl itself, by the sound. I was like, wow, that is a really cool sound. And when I got home, I went to a Tibetan store in Portland, where I'm from, and I bought a bowl and brought it home and just started using it before and after meditations, and then as the meditation itself. And that just kind of grew on me. So I did that for a number of years. And then one day, I was playing my guitar and I just struck a note, just a single note. And maybe I was looking away or something, but the note just kept on going. And I sort of followed it. And then it ended. And I found myself in that same kind of silent space I was on retreats at the end of the singing bowl ringing. And I just sat there and I was like, wow, is it possible that my guitar could actually be a tool for meditation? And so it sent me on this path to sort of learn more about the guitar and how the harmonics compare to the singing bowl. And just it created an entire 3.5 year journey that I'm just concluding on researching the history of guitars and sound and vibration, and it's been life-changing.
Thank you. So tell me about the personal impact that you've had from leveraging mindfulness.
Well, it's been massive. That space before you say something allows your mind to catch up and coordinate your words a little more carefully. And that alone has been a tool. Just slowing down, mindfulness is just aware of just calming and slowing down. And for someone who is as active as I am, that has been invaluable for lowering blood pressure, improving relationship with my family. improving how I feel when I meet new people. So I come more calm, more ready to listen, more open to hearing, and more thoughtful in my replies. And this has been across the board. I feel like a completely new person from practicing not just mindfulness. Mindfulness might be considered the result of a practice that's dedicated to focusing on a single object. In my case, before it was the breath, and now it's sound. And there are so many sounds around us that mindfulness is just so vital because it's so chaotic, all the sounds that are around us. It's easy to sort of get lost in all of it and to feel stressed out.
Thank you. I am a very creative person and I can think of hundreds of ideas like every day. Earlier I was on a podcast and one idea came up and, you know, I'm like a little bit far from my computer and I don't have anything to write with. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I cannot forget this idea. And as I'm thinking that while the podcasting guest is speaking and it's like, they're talking about something really incredible. Then like, oh my God, I cannot forget about this idea. So it's like, and what I'm trying to say is that I have so many ideas and I mean, I love that. But it can be a little bit hard sometimes to pick which one to go with because there's so many exciting stuff that kind of, you know, I love starting things. And like, how would someone like me who's like overly stimulated in a sense, how would they leverage mindfulness to get this inner peace?
You mean how do we? I'm just like you and I have the same ideas, not the same ideas, but the same, I want to say problem. But when I have ideas, I use a Google Doc and it's called Ideas, go figure. I've had this running since 2000, I think it's around, it was 2012, it was a Word doc and then I uploaded it online so I could access it on my phone. So when I come up with an idea, which is all the time, I actually have the month at the top and underneath it, I just write the idea. It can be a product name, it can be, it's not usually a to-do, because to-dos, I just keep in a separate place. I put in a calendar. But like ideas, inventions, thoughts of maybe like a new podcast idea or something, you know, I keep this as a place, a home, where all these ideas can go. Sometimes it's not super convenient, because you could be like talking on a podcast, you're like, oh, I have this great idea. It might actually be sort of interesting just to say, excuse me a minute, I just have this great idea. I'm just going to write it down. Is that okay with you? And just write it down. I mean, there are no rules, right?
Thank you. So like what would someone do to kind of manage this kind of hyperactivity, you know, ultimate creativity? What kind of steps for mindfulness would someone do? Is it that they just kind of go into meditation? Like, I really dislike meditation. The reason I really dislike it is because like you, when you're super active, like, for example, I would love to, you know, jump around with music. And like, even for example, I don't really have quiet moments during the day. Because I'm always doing something, like I'm either walking or I'm writing or I'm like on my phone or like, you know, I don't have any quiet moments as such. And I dislike quiet moments. And in fact, I find meditation very scary, you know, because, for example, I did this meditation with one lady and she was like guiding it. And she's talking about how, okay, go imagine you're in this pyramid and then you're in space. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm so scared being in space by myself. So I don't know how you would do mindfulness when you feel like you can't do meditation, for example.
Well, I think the first question is, are you happy with who you are? Are you happy? Are you content? Not even happy.
Yeah.
Are you content with who you are? You know, that's like the first thing. If you're content with who you are, then why do you have to think about meditation? It's not like everybody has to meditate. I think the whole goal, for me anyway, is contentment. I don't want extremes. I want to have a good, steady way. I want to have some happy moments. I don't want to have sad moments, but they're going to come because they contrast with the happy moments. So you don't really know the happy moments without the sad moments. But if you find balance and you see these moments as they arise for what they are, the, you know, kind of suffering is in the mind, even the minor suffering. We just get lost in a thought. So meditation, mindful meditation on the breath, for example, or a sound, is something that helps stabilize the thought process. And you're able to sort of see these thoughts over time arise. It's a practice. You just sit quietly and you just breathe in and breathe out. Thought comes up, got to do this. Oh, another one comes up, got to do that. You come back to the breath. Oh, another one comes up. It sounds so basic, and it is, but it's ancient and it's still alive today because it works. So the fundamental teaching is really just when thoughts arise, you go back to the breath and you strengthen your ability through that focus. You strengthen your ability to be more mindful and more aware that, oh, there's a thought, and you can almost make a choice, right? If you are going to follow that thought. As my teacher says, you sort of get on the bus, the thought bus, and you end up in some other town, and you get off the bus, you're like, well, how did I get here? We all get, you know, lost in thought. But not getting lost in thought has been extremely helpful in calming. And in that calm actually is the greatest amount of creativity. It could be said that maybe if you just go on and go on, you got all this creativity, it's just like feeling great, and you're doing all this and that, and your thoughts are great, you're writing all this stuff down. How much of it really is great? How much of it is really useful? Could it be possible that the greatest creativity is born from the space between thoughts? I mean, that's kind of how I see it.
Thank you. So the whole idea is that every time you're meditating, you're kind of clearing your mind of all thoughts. And because of that, the really, really important thing that you should be doing, that you perhaps might want to be doing, that will be like for your utmost benefit, is going to come up then.
You don't clear your thoughts. You can't really clear them. I mean, it's a phenomena. Thoughts just arise. You can improve the quality of your thoughts. That's a whole nother practice. But just the fact that thoughts are coming, you can't stop them, nor do you really want to. It's just a matter of seeing them. So you could just pause for a moment in silence, and a thought's going to come up. Like if I pause quietly right now, you might be thinking, how long is this guy going to be quiet for? You know, should I say something to him? Like, hey, wake up, mister. When those thoughts arise, you just kind of like go with the silence to see the thought. You know, you can actually just kind of inside laugh at it, go, oh, that's a funny thought. I almost said something to that guy to say something, because here we are in silence on my podcast. But it's those thoughts that keep coming, that once we don't control them, we don't tame them, we just see them for what they are. And that takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. It takes years of practice. And what I've discovered is that it's not just the breath that I go back to. It's actually been sound. And while the breath is always with us, it's a great tool, because you can sit quietly and meditate the breath in, the breath out, and you can see thoughts come up, whoop, go back to the breath. But with sound, it's really cool because it's everywhere. And what you can do is actually begin to use different sounds as triggers for reminding yourself about watching thoughts. So like a bird, I hike a lot, and I've come to use birds chirping as a trigger for me to sort of wake up in the moment and be grateful for where I'm at. A thought comes up, you know, I gotta do this. If it's important, I'll write it down. If it's a negative thought, I just let it pass, and I just bring it back to the birds chirping. I bring it back to the crunch of the trail underneath my feet, and I try to find triggers that help me sort of wake up throughout the day. Does that help?
Yes. Tell us about the power of sound to heal. Because, for example, I find that I was at a retreat, and they were doing a lot of meditation, and I was bored out of my mind. But I find that, for example, hiking in the woods, for example, where you have this immersive sound that is feeling so relaxing, it's like that kind of environment, I do feel it's calming, it's relaxing. And then it makes you more aware of I should really be doing this or should be doing that. And like you come up with insights and reflections that tend to be incredibly useful for your life, a lot more than just being like in the city or being in your room in your house. I find that there's certain environments that are kind of more conducive to you being incredibly calm. And I also find that there's a certain type of music that, like piano music or Mozart. Although, for example, with Mozart, I associate Mozart with chess because, like, I don't like playing chess, but once I play it, it's fun, and it's like kind of Mozart is kind of the same thing. I don't want to play Mozart because there's a lot of like hip hop that I would prefer to listen, or manifestation music or like abundance meditation kind of thing. But once I start playing it, then I'm like, oh, this is relaxing. This is cool. And then I feel so calm and like I'm like a different person. And so tell us more about the power of the healing power of sound to give you kind of like inner peace.
Well, as we know, different types of music have different types of feelings. The blues, jazz, rock, you get these different types of feelings. And when you play these types of music that kind of resonate with you, it is calming. You can, and also relatable. Some music is very relatable. The blues, often rooted in struggle. Same with flamenco, often rooted in struggle, might connect with you. And you might feel like you're part of a family in that kind of music. You feel sort of at home. I mean, there's been a lot of studies on music itself as far as healing goes. They've had players in hospitals, and they've done studies that show that music helps improve all kinds of conditions. I mean, it can be severe health conditions, it can also be like ADHD, hyperactivity. Just listening to music. But again, I think it boils down basically back to the same thing, is to having that focus. So when you really are intensely focusing and you really put your best effort into bringing all your thoughts back into the sound, I think you're going to get the most benefit from that.
Thank you. What else can we do to have this inner peace with mindfulness? Like what kind of steps or aside from like meditation, is there something else that can be done?
Well, I think meditation is sort of a broad term. It doesn't have to be a formal thing where you just sit every day quietly in your special cushion and you meditate and then you get up and then you go about your day. I think really having triggers that help wake you up. Like there's a classic example of when you wash the dishes. Really wash the dishes. The water is running over your hands. You feel it, the plates. You rinse the plate. You're with the plate. You hold it. You let the water drip off it. You slowly and carefully reach for the towel, and then you dry the plate. And then you set the plate down, and you're constantly with that moment of washing the dishes. The key is to be reminded. I think that's the whole core of how to become more mindful, is to find ways to remind yourself to be more mindful. And like I said, I think it's triggers and it takes practice. And I think sitting on the cushion is a great start because it's sort of like, especially in the morning and at night, late at night, just before bed, because it sort of connects, your sleep when you go to sleep and when you wake up. It kind of connects the two and can improve your sleep at night. But I think having that meditation practice, like first thing in the morning, sort of like sets the stage for the day. But then maybe when you get up off the cushion, just do one little thing that can be mindful. Instead of like just jumping up and going, okay, up, done, ready to go to work, all that, just like get up really slowly, be aware of your body. Put your hand on the ground to stand up, turn around, walk to the door. This is going to sound a little strange. I know it can. But watch your hand reaching for the door. Do it slowly. Open the door. I mean, this is true mindfulness is to try to be in these moments of complete presence as often as possible and to close the gap between the times that you are not. So it's like, you got to wake up. Oh, wake up. Shoot, that's right. I got to wake up. You wake up when you're in the forest because it's different. It's a trigger. The whole event of going hiking, for somebody who doesn't do it a lot, is probably like, wow, nature, it's so beautiful. Wow, I just feel so connected. I hike like 6 days a week, and I feel that way, of course. And hiking is a trigger for me. But doing something different can also be a trigger. So moving reminders around, just moving things around, moving a piece of artwork around. Why did I move that art? It's a trigger to wake up. I think if a person just focused a lot of energy, like all the time, just focus their energy on sort of waking up, even on the computer, even talking to you right now, being aware that I'm aware right now is just very, very helpful for me, just like to calm and just be aware that I'm here talking to you. I'm trying to help you with the experiences that I've had. And this in itself, your podcast now is a trigger for me. Your name, Lily, is going to be a trigger for me. And the more triggers I can have throughout the day, literally, the calmer and the more thoughtful I can become.
Thank you. So why is it so important for someone to become like aware of their environment and what they are doing and be less robotic in what they do?
Well, I think it's a matter of choice. So if a person, again, if a person is content the way they are, then there's no need for change. You know, if they like the hustle bustle and they like going and they don't need, you know, mindfulness and awareness and they're just very content and everything is good, they don't need any of this. I don't think so. I mean, it's all about just how you get through life without getting too tied up in all the negative crap that comes up. I mean, that's really the big thing, is that we just don't want to get lost in negative thoughts. We just want to be as comfortable as we possibly can because life is going to continue to throw crap at us for the rest of our life. It's just part of it. It's just part of life. In fact, that very acceptance is a huge part of this process of sort of finding contentment. But for me, I have to do it. I have to meditate. I have to be mindful. Otherwise, I do go on this chaotic binge of thoughts and emotions, and I talk before I think, and it's not healthy for me. It's not a way that I want to live. And when I'm really with somebody now, and I'm face to face, and I'm having a conversation with somebody, I'm like right there with them. I'm not over here. Thoughts come, anything comes up, man, I am focused as best I can. I'm not perfect, but I focus the best I can. Thoughts come up, I stay focused. It's all part of the practice. And the practice isn't necessarily happening just right in the conversation. It certainly is, but that's usually the result. Being focused is usually the result of having a practice of mindfulness before I even have that encounter.
Thank you. Everyone talks about mindfulness, but why are so many people still stressed?
Because I assume, I don't know for sure. I think every person is completely different and unique. And I think the world has a lot of stressful people because first, they may not have been introduced to what mindfulness is and its value. They haven't been introduced to any kind of practice for it. And frankly, a lot of people just aren't interested in that stuff, whatever that stuff may be. But they're like, you know, I don't care. You know, a lot of people just don't care. And to each their own. You know, for those that do, we are not poorly influenced, you know, badly influenced by the people that are out there causing chaos.
Thank you. Why do people feel more overwhelmed than ever, despite having more tools?
Well, I think the world has changed a lot from before cell phones, and when a world was calmer, and people were more family oriented, I mean, if you weren't on your phone, what were you doing? You were probably having a conversation with somebody in person. You weren't surfing. You were here, more present in the moment. I think that we've become very isolated from our devices that we have because we seem to need this stimulation. I do it too. I'm anything but perfect. This is a practice. You know, this is an ongoing effort to keep myself off my phone as well. And I don't do social media anymore at all. I gave it up years ago. And that's a big part of it. I don't look for satisfaction from a like. I'm content with myself. So I think being content with myself has reduced my need for approval from others. So that's a big thing. And I think that just a lot of people just haven't been, and our children have not been really introduced to mindfulness and meditation. And I wouldn't even say mindfulness. I would just say meditation itself, whatever form that shows up as, because it's about neuroplasticity. It's about strengthening the patterns in the brain so that we have our responses are more thoughtful. And it just takes practice. But at first it takes having an interest, and then it takes understanding what the next steps are, and then being committed to a practice and really wanting change. Because if you don't really want change, you know, I mean, you can have these short-term sort of like desires of I want this and I want that change and this and that. But if it's not a genuine desire for change, then any kind of practice like that isn't going to last. It's just going to be this kind of thing. I did a little bit. I tried it. It didn't work. But it's not an overnight thing. But it's proven. It's not just proven by me and my experience. I mean, this stuff goes back thousands of years, you know. And the reason why it's still alive today is because meditation works.
Thank you. Why is it so hard for people to slow down today?
Well, again, I think it's the same thing is that we, as things have sped up, we're all speeding up together. The increased speed of communication. Okay, well, I got to respond. I got to keep up with it. It used to be like we might think of some of our advancements as advantages, but everybody has the same advantage. So we're just gradually together rising up in speed, you know, side by side. I don't think it's really helping things. So again, I think it's for each person, they just need to decide how content they feel in their life and to really take a serious look at slowing down and just taking a quiet moment and just breathing and just seeing what rises up. Because there's a whole nother thing that when you do that, you look at the thoughts then. Some of them you can look at and go, wow, am I ever racing or what? And that may be the first feelings when a meditation practice begins. But it's really cool to be able to see your mind, how active it really is. And I think this is what's going on all around, is that there's just not a lot of people that are engaging into some kind of mindfulness practice.
Thank you. In my case, I'm a TikToker. And what I found is that I am a social media addict. So like, I feel like I need this kind of like dopamine hit of like flicking and scrolling and like, you know, sometimes it's something funny, sometimes it's something, you know, a learning piece and so on. But I'm like addicted to this flicking thing, you know? And what can someone do that is like hyperactive like this? What would be like a first step that you would get someone who is like hyperactive to do like a minor step that will lead to a really big result, especially people who are like ADHD or people who are like so hyperactive and so like in the TikTok generation that they don't have the attention span to kind of try to do something for like a long time, like the way that you're saying it?
Well, trying stuff won't matter if there's no intention to change. You could just try it. It's just like trying different food. Okay, it was okay. But if there's no intention to really make a change, somebody really has to be brought to the moment of needing change in their life. Like if you enjoy TikTok, why do you want to stop? I mean, if you're content with your life, why meditate? I mean, that's how I see it. I think contentment is what it's all about. And if you binge on anything and you enjoy the binge and then you don't binge for a while and that's a contented life for you, then binge on, sister, kind of thing. You know, what can you say? You know, it's to each their own. For me, my mind is so active and so chaotic. And I found myself for many years, as I said before, speaking before I was thinking and just sort of, you know, kind of diarrhea of the mouth. And it just wasn't really serving me very well. It would get me into trouble. This is a long time ago. Okay, fair enough. So I've grown quite a bit since then. But I think it just depends on what a person wants. They've really got to want change first. That's really, to me, is the fundamental requirement. If you just want to try meditation, I mean, it's pretty simple. You could just sit, close your eyes, follow the breath in, follow it out, and you could count one, then in, out, two, and you could do that like 10 times. In fact, there's kind of a neat little thing, I call it Thought Watch, where I used to count my breaths, but I'd lose count. So I'd be at like seven, I'd be like, where was I? And when that happens, you go back to one again, you start over again. You really can see the strength of your ability to focus by counting your breaths. And I actually created a little piece of paper and I would mark the number of times that I had to start over again. And then you can, if after a while, you might be counting subconsciously, and that's just not fair. So what you do in that case is you can start at 9, 7, 5, 3, 1, then 2, 4, and you count that way. But you'd be surprised how easily you can lose count. And if you don't lose count, that's great. That's means that you, in my view, that you have really strong ability to focus. And strengthening that focus is the key, I think, to developing mindfulness.
Thank you. Tell me about tell me, how does mindfulness help with anxiety or overthinking? Does it help?
Well, I love the term overthinking because that is a direct benefit of having a meditative practice. All these questions seem to kind of point back to the same solution, which is really just to sit and just be in the space of your breath or a sound. Like I use a singing bowl or I'll play a note on a guitar. And all these thoughts will keep coming. The idea is to not jump on the thought bus and let it carry you away, only to find out that, you know, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever have passed, and you've been lost on a thought. Imagine what that's like, going through life constantly lost in some thought. What kind of grounding life is that? For me, it's not. When I discovered that that's what I was doing, I'm like, I don't want to keep getting lost on thoughts. Thoughts will come up, responsibilities I need to do. I do my duty. Sometimes I'll have a piece of paper next to me. I used to do this all the time. I'd sit and meditate. I have a piece of paper next to me. And I've owned businesses for many years. And the first things that would come up in that silence in the first few seconds would be the single most pressing things on my mind. And I just write them down right next to me. Just, you know, whatever it is, I got to pay that bill, I got to call that person, whatever. Usually maybe there's like 5 to 10 really sort of like important things that pop up over the course of the first minute or two. And then it's like I've relieved myself of that mental responsibility. And I'm able to really then, like I'm satisfied. I know, okay, I'm not going to lose that thought. I got that thought down. I wrote it down. My responsibility is on paper now. Time to let go. Maybe one or two more of those will come up, write it down. And that's a good way to start. And then just know, have the satisfaction of knowing that your responsibilities have been logged. You're not going to forget about them. They're right next to you. And now just focus on your breath. And then other types of thoughts will come up. And those are the ones that seem to be the less purposeful, the ones that we can kind of get lost on, the little things that just, you know, the monkey mind, as they say, will just keep coming up. You'll know if it's important enough because yourself will tell you, oh, you better write this one down. Most things are not like that, though. You know basically what your responsibilities are. Some important things will rise. There might be an idea or something that you want to jot down. But after you get that sort of like written down, then you can really get into the calm benefit of a meditative practice. I can't say enough about it. I used to think, you know, as time goes on, there's things I want to pass down to my kids. I want them to really learn this thing, you know. And those things have changed, and through the years, it's become meditation, and I realize that having a stable, aware self is the single most important thing I can do. It's the single most important effort I can put into my day.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs and people worldwide can connect with you.
You could go to richardjperry.com or theperfectguitar.com, which is my journey of how the guitar opened up. Lots of channels of discovery through sound.
Thank you.
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrascu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.